On today's episode of Insights, how can you turn your blog articles into great visual content? We share the key to creating thumb-stopping imagery for your social media, and you'll learn three design trends from Haley Marketing's creative team. Today's episode of Insights is brought to you by Haley Marketing's Hot Summer Deals. Looking to fire up your marketing or recruiting? Let us help light the fire. To learn more about Haley Marketing's 8 Hot Summer Deals, visit haleymarketing.com/summer. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights, tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Insights, the podcast built to help you with your recruitment and digital marketing. Joining me for a special creative-focused episode of Insights are two of Haley Marketing's digital media graphic designers, Sarah Jadashik and Josie Eberts. Welcome to the episode.
Hey, Brad. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You know, I'm excited for this episode. It's something we've talked about doing for a while now, and I'm excited to break down our three typical Insights segments and really focus them specifically on the creative that can help our listeners stand out from the crowd. So before we get started on segment one, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you help our clients on a day-to-day basis? Josie, we'll start with you.
Well, every day I like to work on social media branding. So I tend to do the imagery for your blogs, the imagery for your social platforms, including Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, sometimes YouTube, Instagram, etc. I also tend to take care of videos, which is an expanding world here at Haley. And I also like to specialize in infographics, make lots of information colorful, really easy to digest, and visually entertaining.
Sarah, how about you?
From day to day, I really do a lot of what Josie does. When she's busy, I tend to take up her overflow. But then in addition to that, I also do a lot of email marketing. I do designs and building, and then I also do websites as well. So we're really just working all day to create custom creative solutions for your marketing problems.
Well, I'm really excited to get into this episode, focusing specifically on the creative that can help you with your digital and social recruiting. So let's get started.
Content Blueprint.
On past episodes of Insights, Matt Lozar and I have talked about how to create a content plan, how to write great headlines, and really how to identify the ideal blog post length. Sarah, Josie, today I want to chat about how to take that blog article to the next level. Sarah, we'll start with you. How can you turn blog articles into great visual content?
Well, with each blog article, it really depends on the content that you're trying to show. We typically like to do infographics or slideshares with it, but it all really does depend on the length of your content, the topic, and what kind of platform you want to show it on.
Yeah, and I know from a social media standpoint, a lot of times we'll look at Google Analytics, we'll look at different tools to see what posts might be performing well. Once we have that data and we know, okay, blog X is doing really well on a client's blog, then we look at the creative aspect to it. Josie, what would you do with that performing post that's really outpacing all the others?
I like to make something a little bit more unique. So that often includes something you don't see every day, such as illustration or a very unique photo that uses a lot more color, younger people maybe, depending on the situation, of course, diversity, anything that really catches your eye, stops your scroll.
Yeah, so when we think about taking that blog post to the next level and upscaling that content, we want to come back to the foundation. We want to look at what blog post is actually performing well. And on Insights, we've talked about how to identify your outlying piece of content. I know Matt referred to it as that unicorn content. But when we have something like an infographic, let's chat about that for a second. So you have a blog article that's 350 words. How do we break that into an infographic? Are we running that same copy over to that design, or are we doing something different with it?
When I work on infographics, I like to look at it as a conversation. So you have your blog post, you have different sections, you have paragraphs. So you can break those down and illustrate those as a conversation. You can have a different icon for each sort of topic. And then you have that visual representation of what you're reading in addition to the actual meat of the copy itself. So it's a really nice marriage of information and design, and it should keep you engaged all the way through. And it's been proven that with visuals, you're actually going to internalize that information a lot better than just reading it.
Which is great for a candidate or a job seeker who's looking for their next opportunity. Yes, they might read that blog post, but if they can internalize the information that you're sharing quicker and more effectively, then an infographic makes perfect sense. Sarah, if we were going to turn that blog post into, let's say, a slide share, again, in the same question, the same respect, would we use that same copy on that slide share, or should we be looking at chopping that up and making it a little different for that design?
That is something that we would want to cut up quite a bit. If we leave the same amount of copy and the same block of text, it's going to take the visual interest away from the actual project. We really want to segment it into maybe like a list that can be each page is a bullet item, and we can make it very visually interesting and engaging for the user.
And on Insights past episodes, Matt and I have talked about how you don't know how a candidate or a prospect is going to consume content. It's just like the evening news. Some people might look at Twitter and get that news very quickly. Some people might watch the morning news. Some people might listen on their morning commute. In the same respect, your candidates and prospects don't know how they're going to consume your content. So looking at those blog articles and turning them into something else, something more visually appealing, it's a great way to get in front of an audience that might otherwise miss that content. So to wrap this segment up, I think really it comes down to looking at what you're doing well, using a platform like Google Analytics to understand what blog post is performing well. And then as Sarah and Josie said, turning that into what we consider rich media. So using an infographic, using a slide share, maybe it's turning it into a piece of video content, but upscaling that content into another form of media. We're going to take a real quick break. When we get back, we're going to chat about how to create thumb-stopping imagery.
Hi, this is David Stearns, CEO at Haley Marketing. It's summer, and that's our favorite time of the year. So to celebrate, we're having hot deals on several of our most popular services, including websites, blogging, video marketing, recruiting, digital dominance, and our award-winning content marketing service, Haley Mail. Want to know more about our hot summer deals? Check out haleymarketing.com/summer.
Social reach.
If you're a regular Insights listener, you've certainly heard me say this before, but on social media, we have to create and publish thumb-stopping imagery. Imagery that is so good, social users have to stop their mindless scrolling, look at the image, and take action. Josie, we're going to start with you on this segment. How can staffing firms create thumb-stopping imagery?
You have to remember that people are so busy in their day-to-day lives that they're just going through a deluge of information, colors, ads, everything you can imagine. It's just going right past. So how do you make something that stops them? They look at it and they suddenly think, I want to engage with this. Well, you have to make it relatable, I think. You have to make it something that they can see themselves in, depending on the situation. So that means not the typical imagery of, you know, two men in suits shaking hands, because, well, we've seen that a lot. So you need to give them something that they can project into, that they're going to go, I want to know more about that. You need to make it unique, interesting, colorful usually helps. But it also has to really show the general mood of your company. So if you're a bit more serious and you're looking for serious candidates, you're going to want something that's a little bit more refined and pulled together. And if they're a bit more playful, then you're going to want younger people hanging out, a little bit more of that chill vibe. That's going to make them pay more attention than your standard stock imagery.
I love the thought of thinking through target audience. And as a drastic extreme, if you're in light industrial staffing, you certainly wouldn't put a nurse on your social sharing image. Again, drastic extreme, but you need to think about that ideal candidate and how that candidate can see themselves in that image. Love the idea of that. Sarah, let's kick it to you. If we had to create thumb-stopping imagery that'll cut through the extreme clutter of a platform like Facebook, how can staffing firms do that today?
I think really paying attention to current trends even can make a big difference. Right now, it's just so oversaturated. I mean, how many things do you see a day? You're not going to stop for, like Josie said, the average picture of a guy smiling, crossing his arms. You really want something that can convey what your culture is all about.
So if we think about publishing images on social media, I know there's a lot of free stock images, locations like Unsplash, Pexels, places that individuals or staffing firms can download these free images. What might a staffing firm do to then polish that or edit it to make it a little bit more captivating?
A little bit of branding for your company can go a long, long way, because when you see that image, you're going to see that logo and you're going to connect the two subconsciously, which is very important.
I think, too, like depending on how you're using that imagery, like if you're just using it as a social share image, there's only so much you can do. But if you're doing something more like an ad or, you know, posting videos, I think using some sort of movement or illustration can make a big difference. Like using something like a GIF or GIF, if you're a purist, can really captivate an audience and make them really interested and say like, oh, what is this? I haven't seen something like this before.
I've said GIF forever.
It's how it should be said.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We can all agree on that then?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. We're not putting peanut butter on our social media site.
So it's GIF, not GIF.
Correct.
Got it.
Graphic interchange format, GIF. Yes.
Lesson learned. I like this a lot. So to wrap up social reach, if we think about how to create thumb-stopping imagery, it's understanding that target audience. It's understanding who you're actually trying to reach, making sure every post has a purpose, making sure that that graphic is speaking to the end user that is going to see it and consume it. To Sarah's point, it's wrapping that with branding, whether you have some nice color overlays on top of that, making sure that your logo is included on that image. If you're going to use a free stock image site like Unsplash or Pexels, add your own unique branding to it. Make it a little polished up so that it's not just, as Josie said, two men shaking hands like every other staffing firm is using. Be unique, be you, and continue to differentiate yourself from the competition.
Seen and heard.
I want to get right into this segment. When we think about current design trends, what are the both of you seeing right now? And maybe more importantly, where is graphic design headed for 2020? Sarah, let's start with you.
Yeah, Brad. Right now we're seeing a lot of bold and pastel colors in design. We're also seeing a lot of gradients, which is something that we're going to continue to see into 2020.
Pastels like Easter colors.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Fun, light, pretty.
And when you think about a gradient, why don't you explain that to us?
A gradient is typically when you have, like, say, green fade into blue. It's just like a nice gradual change in color. It adds a lot of dimension and just a little spice of design that's not too much.
Okay.
We're also seeing a lot of large, bold type and serif fonts. And a serif font is something like when you open a book and see Times New Roman versus the Google logo, which could be something like Arial or Helvetica. So those are going to be really popular coming into 2020. They're just different. They're more eye-catching, and they really just create a lot of interest.
Like from a social standpoint, having those big, bold fonts helps too, because we just talked about creating that thumb-stopping imagery. If you want to put copy on an image, it has to be big. I mean, if people are scrolling through Facebook mindlessly, they're scrolling through LinkedIn, and they're inundated with all this content, that big, bold copy has to cut through the noise. So I totally understand where that's coming from. Josie, from a design standpoint and a graphic design standpoint, where do you think we're headed for 2020?
So first, it's easier to kind of look back a couple years, and you're going to see that white space was all the rage. White, black, simplicity. Well, simplicity is still a huge deal, but now it's all about efficiency and modular and big organic shapes and really like pow in the kisser with everything you want with a billboard sort of look. So moving forward, we're going to see a lot of that. There seems to be quite a bit of interest in thick retro-inspired fonts. So if you think about picking up an old movie poster from the 1960s or 1970s, there was a designer by the name of Saul Bass, and you're going to see that kind of inspiration moving forward, I think, quite a little bit. In addition to the shapes that were mentioned by Sarah, those kind of ice cream shapes, your mint, your pink, your coral, I think we're going to see more patterns. There's a lot of playfulness coming our way. If you've been on the internet and seen Uber, Spotify, MailChimp, a lot of them have used playful illustration, kind of chunky looking, you know, people doing cool things, lots of plants, that sort of look. I think that's going to continue. It's a nice little bright spot in your day-to-day business, and expect to see more of that.
So let me ask you this question. Let's say I am a client or somebody that you're working on with graphic design. I have a red and white logo. How do we implement and deploy these pastel colors or all these changes that you're talking about, these design trends, if my logo is just red and white? Where do we go from there?
There's nothing wrong with just a plain old red and white logo, because red is a very bold color. And something that I've noticed is that a lot of websites recently are using only two or three colors, usually with a main base of black or white, and then an accent color. In this case, your red. So that would actually be a fantastic, easy-to-use color scheme that would nicely tie your entire company together and all of your branding.
So it's working with the logo. It's not thinking through, okay, now my logo has to be pastels or have a gradient on my logo. It's just, how does that logo intersect with all of the other design work?
Absolutely. It can actually be a little tricky if you go and you update your logo with every new trend that comes down the pipe. Then you're going to be outdated before it's, you know, you're not going to age timelessly. So stick to your color, stick to your guns, and, you know, freshen up here and there. But generally, you don't have to go with every new thing that happens.
The nice thing, too, about a logo that is timeless is that it should be able to seamlessly be incorporated with these trends. Like, you shouldn't have a logo that's so crazy that, you know, when we have a trend of large type and beautiful, bright colors, that it looks completely out of place. Like, it should be something that is very simple and to the point and just really represents your company.
So we talked about creating thumb-stopping imagery on social media. I want to bring these design trends to social for a second. Does every social image have to be the same? When we think about templates, when we think about graphic work, does every image have to have that same look to it? Or can, you know, a post on Monday have a nice gradient over it and post two maybe have some different pastels on top of it? Do we need continuity from post to post? Or is it just try and experiment with different things?
I think that can depend on your company. If you're a bit more playful, then absolutely change it up, keep it fresh. And if you're a little bit more traditional, that's okay. Try it here and there, see how it works. You know, dip your toe in. It's all right.
I think it's important too, like, trying these new trends is amazing. Like, try it, see what works, see what doesn't work. But as long as you have at least some sort of basis of continuity in there, I think you're okay. Like, if it's your logo, if it's that you use, like, when you do the pastel, you always do the same range of colors. Something like that, where it's not something completely crazy where someone's going to stop and say, who is this? Why am I following them?
I love the ideas. When we look at social media and when we think about really the show in general, it's always coming back to the data and looking at what's working for us. So if we're trying new design trends, we're deploying these new design trends, always come back to, well, hey, what was the impact of doing this? Yes, it looks pretty and the graphic looks great, but did it drive the response that you wanted it to? Is the website still functioning the way you want it to? Is your social still driving your recruiting efforts? Does every post have a purpose and is it funneling individuals the right way? Love all of the ideas. What we'll do is we'll create a list of all this information from this segment and we'll post it on haleymarketing.com, specifically on the blog, so that you can look through and identify the greatest and biggest design trends of 2020 directly from Haley Marketing's creative team. That's our show, and thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, we ask that you please tell just one coworker about it this week. Have a question for us? You can tweet us at Haley Marketing and let us know what you're thinking, or email info@haleymarketing.com. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. You can check out haleymarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. For our guests this week, Sarah and Josie, this is Brad Biley. I'll see you next time.